Well, this morning's lesson comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Hear God's word. I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do this work. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. The only credentials I brought to it were invective and witch hunts and arrogance. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing, didn't know who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me, and all because of Jesus. Here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now, he shows me off, evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, it's been quite the news week, hasn't it? A lot of attention, especially going to a particular supposedly Christian pastor down in Florida who will go unnamed. I think his name has been floating around a little too much already. This deeply saddened me to see so much attention placed upon someone who calls themselves not just a Christian, but a Christian leader, and yet who seems to be projecting something that I don't understand as being anything close to the Christian faith. To be talking about any of God's people in such a hate-filled way is beyond my understanding. And surely it goes beyond anything we really understand. Is he still speaking of the God who says, not just love your neighbor, but love your enemies? Is he still speaking on behalf of the God who says, judge not? That God is to be the judge? There are so many out there who are struggling in pain for so many different reasons and who think perhaps that what they're doing is the right thing, and yet who can do so much harm. It was so ironic to me to be following the news about this pastor even as I was studying and immersing myself in this passage where Paul, who in some ways in his early life could have been similar to that Florida pastor. He was a Jew at the time who was strongly condemning Christians, even to the point of murder and stoning them to death. How ironic that this Paul, who was literally thrown on his ear by God, came to know and love and worship the loving Christ, and to preach good news that all those who come to him are forgiven and made new. How amazing that he would preach to everyone, no holds bar. There have been other peculiar things in the news. We heard news that the second Mayor Daley is retiring in Chicago, which brought to mind the original Mayor Daley, who had quite the reputation. In fact, after one particularly very corrupt episode where Mayor Daley had been exposed for all kinds of corrupt dealings, there was a young reporter who went to him and said, "Aren't you concerned and embarrassed by these activities, Mayor?" And you're not going to believe his response. His response was, "Son, nothing embarrasses me. Can you imagine? And yet we seem to be living in a time when so many people are embarrassed by nothing. Came across another interesting article about what a former assistant out in California, in L.A., he was Bob Vernon. He's the former assistant chief of the police for the Los Angeles Police Department. And he was disturbed by seeing more and more young people who fall in a category of what he calls moral flatliners. People who seem to have no conscience. And he was reminded of one particular young man who was arrested because he had shot a group of girls that were in a parade. They were on a float going by, and he didn't even run afterwards. He just stayed. They came and got him. They arrested him, didn't protest. And then when they asked him about why he did what he did, he said he needed to do some prison time because he had a bad case of venereal disease, and he knew he could get free medical treatment. He didn't stop there. He also said he had some teeth that needed to be repaired, and he knew he could get some dental care there. Too bad he didn't know about that event next week, right? He also said he wanted to spend time in prison getting buffed out. In other words, he saw it as an opportunity to spend some time doing some bodybuilding. Shame that he couldn't spend some time doing some spiritual building. But he had to get a bad reputation so that when he went into prison, you know, that he would be known as a force to be reckoned with. And what Chief Vernon wrote in response was, he says, what we see so clearly in this case is one of the root problems destroying our society and families, the loss of conscience. The trend is to no longer be ashamed of our darker side. The shocking trend is ravaging our culture. It's becoming a badge of honor to not only violate the social norms, but even to flaunt that behavior. And you see it all the time. And of course, the advent of YouTube and social media gives increased opportunities for these things to happen. Even with that Florida pastor, how he gained so much attention was not originally from our news media, but by getting himself on YouTube and all that being seen in other countries on the other side of the globe. They heard about it before we did in our own country. We've got a situation. And the flip side, now here's a funny thing. A funny thing that I came across, ironically, is that a report that every year the federal government actually receives hundreds of thousands of dollars plus items ranging from wrenches to silverware from citizens with a guilty conscience because they cheated on their income tax. Well, I guess it's a relief to know that somebody is feeling guilty somewhere, and our government can certainly use the money. And I don't want to make light of a serious situation. But the problem is, in fact, that we do have a culture and a society that seems to be less and less aware of right and wrong. And where more and more people are gaining attention for the wrong reasons. And it's almost childlike in a way. Those of us who have been parents have memories of our children who, in an effort to get attention, would often do things that were wrong, right? And we'd try to explain to them and teach them, you don't want to get attention for the wrong reasons. There are good reasons to get attention, and there are bad reasons to get attention. But with the advent of all the reality shows, with all the publicity on TV, with people constantly being embarrassed by bad behavior, but not really embarrassed. It's crazy. It's crazy. But Paul, in this passage, reminds us of a different way. He reminds us of a different way of living and being. Many of us wish we didn't have a conscience in some ways. Wish we didn't have that little voice niggling at us and chewing at us and making us feel ashamed when we do things we know aren't right. But that conscience is actually one of the best gifts we have. It's kind of like the red light on our dashboard that warns us that something bad is happening under the hood of our vehicle. That conscience is our inner red light saying something bad is happening under the hood of our heads and in our beings. It's warning us that we're on a path that leads just to destruction. Destruction for those we're with as well as for ourselves. Paul, in his lifetime, he did a number of horrific things, got all kinds of attention for it. And then something happened in his life. And he says in that one special sentence, he says, I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing. I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing. And I have a hope that these folks that are just out there doing their thing, ignoring the rights and the wrongs, I'm praying it's because they just don't know. And that something will come into their lives to help them to know. Paul, he had prestige. He had status. He had all kinds of gifts of the world before he came into that encounter with God. And it may seem counterintuitive, but it was in that encounter, when he was brought to his knees, when he was shamed for his actions, when he had to take a look at himself and see all that was wrong and try to understand what was right, that was a huge turning point. It was a huge turning point. And going forward, what was also interesting is that he didn't hide all that bad behavior prior to his being saved. He didn't pretend it didn't happen. In fact, it became a badge of honor in a way. Because it wasn't about him. It was about God. It was about what God did in his life. And it changed him so radically and gave him so much hope and peace, he couldn't keep it to himself. He had to share. And he had to share it all to be able to communicate just how much God had done. I imagine that if we had the time and we were all brave enough, we could share quite a few stories together, couldn't we? Of our own lives, of things that we did at one time that we don't necessarily want showing up on YouTube. Things that we just assume people didn't know about. Things we kind of want to move beyond. But the amazing thing is that when we face them, and when we own those things were wrong, and we turn to God to heal it, to make it right, he's able to use us in all kinds of amazing ways. He's able to satisfy our heart's desire in all kinds of amazing ways. He can do that. You may wonder why we have that confession every week. Can't we confess on our own? Can't we confess at home? Do we really have to pray that prayer together? Well, that's part of the reason. Is we as a church family need to be reminded that we're all in the same boat. We all blow it. We all fail. But we know we do. And that's a gift. And we know that together, as we share that together, we're forgiven together. And together we can start new. We can help each other, encourage each other. My friends, We can't lose sight of the fact, ever, that there is a right and there is a wrong. And we've got to aim for the right that Christ taught us and showed us. And when he does, when we do follow that, when we follow that, it allows us to be used in ways we can't imagine. And I just want to remind you of a few of those people. Also those who'd fallen, but those who ended up being used by God in amazing ways. Just a few reminders. There was Abraham and Sarah. They were a childless old couple who had their bumps along the road, who ended up becoming the parents of a nation. There was Moses, who had a terrible stuttering problem, and yet he became a leader we still speak of today, who stood up to the greatest power in the world in his lifetime. There was Esther, who was considered to be the quintessential dumb blonde, who outwitted a king, destroyed his evil henchmen, and saved her people. There was David, who was basically your scandalous Lothario. He was a dreamy-eyed musician, also maybe even considered the Elvis of his day. Or at least so U2's Bono describes him that way. And he ended up becoming Israel's greatest king, leaving us with the beautiful Psalms that are just this wonderful connecting point to God. There was Rahab. She was a prostitute who provided Israel with the means for victory over all kinds of deadly enemies. Jeremiah, who we spoke about a few weeks ago, a crazed and depressed prophet who became the saving voice of sanity for the exiled Israelites. There was Hosea. He was a henpecked husband whose heart-wrenching marriage gave people of faith a new perspective on love and loyalty. Mary, a teenage unwed mother who gave birth to the Son of God. And Peter, considered to be as dense as granite, a fisherman with a bull in a china shop personality who even betrayed the Lord Jesus and yet became the rock of the church. God wants to use you. Every single one in this room. He wants to use you. And we have an opportunity in this crazy time to be voices of conscience. Not to point fingers, but by living by example, by holding to a higher truth, by showing there can be a better way. What will your answer be? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for his courage in following in so many difficult ways. We thank you for his willingness to share his brokenness that we might have hope. We pray that we too, Lord, might say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.